God has often asked very difficult things of his prophets. Just difficult physical things to be assigned to the people, sometimes asking them to endure persecution. Jeremiah was told right from the beginning of his career as a prophet, they're not going to listen to you. And it was true, right? He asked difficult things of his prophets. I think the prophet that he asked one of the most difficult things to was Hosea, because he asked Hosea to marry a prostitute who would be unfaithful to him. And it was a sign of God's relationship with Israel and Israel wandering off from him. And so Hosea became this testimony representing the Lord and his wife representing Israel's unfaithfulness. But Hosea entered into that covenant of marriage with this woman, Gomer. And likewise, in today's Torah portion that we have this week, God enters into a covenant relationship with us, with Israel. Deuteronomy 29, 9 through 15, as Marilyn read beautifully earlier. Therefore, keep the words of this covenant and do them, that you may prosper in all that you do. All of you stand today in the presence of the Lord your God, your heads, your tribes, your elders, and your officers, even all the men of Israel, your little ones, your wives, and the foreigners who are in the middle of your camps, from the one who cuts your wood to the one who draws your water, that you may enter into the covenant of the Lord your God and into his oath, which the Lord your God makes with you today, that he may establish you today as his people, and that he may be your God as he spoke to you, and as he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. Neither do I make this covenant and this oath with you only, but with those who stand here today with us and before the Lord your God, and also with those who are not here with us today. Okay, and that last part, not with us today, most of the rabbis and the commentators say that means those their children after them, the descendants down to today. The Lord is making a covenant with his people. What is a covenant? A covenant is an exclusive relationship that establishes what that relationship is and what's to be expected in that relationship from either party. And so nations would make covenants with other nations, for example. Okay, I'll make a covenant with you. What does that mean? That means, well, I'm the greater nation. That means you're going to pay me tribute, and I'll make sure that you're protected if somebody attacks you, something like that. People and people made covenants together, right? Laban and Jacob, for example, made a covenant. Let's make a covenant. We'll set up a monument, and you won't come past there to do me harm. I won't come past here to... There's a covenant, there's an expectation, there's a relationship. What's awesome here is that God is making a covenant with his people. God is doing something that happened between people and people and nations. God wants that covenant with us. Let me ask you a question, and I want you to kind of answer this in your mind. What is the basis of your identity? Have you ever thought about that? What is, who are you? Who are you? And sometimes we answer things, questions along those lines with what our career is. Well, I'm a teacher. I'm a rabbi. I'm a whatever you might be. Well, that's what I am. Or sometimes questions like that get answered with our personality. Well, I'm creative, my favorite color is green. You know, we answer with things dealing with our personality or things dealing with our talents. When I was in middle school, we had chokecherry trees growing around the neighborhood, and I got a really good talent for throwing the chokecherry up about three stories high and catching it in my mouth. What are you? Is it your career? Is it your personality? Is it your talents? What is it? How do you answer that question? How do you answer that question? And we need to answer it this way. I'm a person in covenant with God. Ultimately, foundationally, who are you? I'm a child of God. And we live our lives holding out the other things too often, as if that's what our life is about. My life is about my work. I am a this, I am a that. My life is geared towards being a this or being a that, or wanting to be a this or wanting to be a that, or doing this or doing that, or you have an image in your mind of who you are. Well, I'm the creative type. I'm the rebellious type. I'm the scientific type. And we hold that out as if that's what we are, and it's all a facade. It all fades away. It doesn't impress God, and usually doesn't impress other people very often. And even if it does, it doesn't matter. You are a child of God foundationally. You and I are children of God because of Messiah Yeshua. John chapter 1 says, to those who did believe in him and put their trust in him, he gave the right to become children of God. Right? Not children born of the flesh or of the will of man, but born of God, right? And that's what we become, and that's who we are. I am a child of God. And let's just take a moment to relax in that, because there's so much stress in the other stuff, having to uphold our image or having to uphold our jobs or our this or that, and it becomes a really tedious balancing act that doesn't let us relax. Rather, let's relax. There's nothing that can take that away, right? Romans chapter 8 says this. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Messiah Yeshua our Lord. Okay? Travis, I'm sure it was a real blow to you at the time when you lost your eyesight. I'm sure it was a major blow, right? Who am I now? What do I do now? And I used to think about things like that, growing up wanting to be a musician. What if I lost my hearing like Beethoven did? You know, what then? Well, I would just have faith that God would heal me. You know, that was my backup plan. I'm just going to have so much faith, God's just going to have to heal me. Well, God doesn't always work the way we want to work, right? But that can be taken away. But you as a child of God cannot be taken away. You, as being in covenant, not even death, not life, not angels, not demons, not height, not depth, nothing can take you away from being the child of God. And so we've got to stop presenting things to him. These are my dad. Lord God, I am so this, I'm so that, or to other people, I'm so this, I'm so that. No. Let me breathe deep. I'm a child of God. And not only can that not be taken away, but that is a glorious and awesome thing. What is your identity? I'm Jewish. I'm an Irish person, and everybody loves the Irish. No, none of that matters, right? What does it say in Galatians 3, 28 and 29? There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free man. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Messiah Yeshua. If you are Messiah's, then you are Abraham's offspring and heirs according to the promise. Yes, I'm Jewish. Yes, that does play largely into my life, but foundationally, that's not my identity. Foundationally, my identity is I am a child of God. And in the Torah portion, we see this as well. The Jew and the Gentile don't matter. It's, are you entering into the covenant with God? Deuteronomy 29, 10 through the first part of 11. All of you stand today in the presence of the Lord your God, your heads, your tribes, your elders, and your officers, even all the men of Israel, your little ones, your wives, and the foreigners who are in the middle of your camps. Now, I know the translation that we read earlier said the proselytes. That's not the correct translation. That's an anachronistic translation because of a certain Orthodox theology there. How could they be making a covenant with God if they're not Jews? So they must be proselytes. That's not really what the word means. It's you're gathered together with Israel. You're coming into covenant with God. Let the rest of it go, right? So make that your identity. Deuteronomy 29, 12 through 13. Enter into the covenant of the Lord your God and into his oath, which the Lord your God makes with you today, that he may establish you today as his people. What is our identity? We are the people of God. We are the people of God. Okay? And just like in this allusion, this parallel has been brought out many times by many people, and it's an important one. Just like Israel came out of Egypt, so did we come out of sin. Just like Moses led us through the Red Sea, so has Messiah brought us into the kingdom of God. Colossians 1, verses 12 and 13, giving thanks to the Father who made us fit to be partakers of the inheritance of the holy ones in light, who delivered us out of the power of darkness, delivered us, so to speak, from Egypt, and translated us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. We are in that kingdom with the Lord God. We are in that kingdom. But here's the thing. God pulled us out of Egypt. But it took a long time for Egypt to be pulled out of us. We still had that Egyptian mentality for far too long. And it caused us to wander around and around in the desert for 40 years. We had to get that Egyptian mentality out of us. Deuteronomy 29, 16. For you know how we lived in the land of Egypt, and how we came through the middle of the nations through which you passed, and you have seen their abominations and their idols, wood and stone, silver and gold, which were among you. Egypt should have stunk to our nostrils. It should have been, that's disgusting stuff. I don't want that kind of idolatrous lifestyle. I don't want the pagan lifestyle of Egypt and the nations that we came through. The word abominations is there. It was an abomination to God. Is it an abomination to us? Is it an abomination to us? It wasn't always. Numbers 11, 5 through 6, the mixed multitude that was among them lusted exceedingly. And the children of Israel also wept again and said, who will give us meat to eat? We remember the fish which we ate in Egypt for nothing, the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic. But now we have lost our appetite. There's nothing at all except this manna to look at. Egypt was still in our hearts. And we have been brought from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. But sometimes, yes, we're there. God has brought us out. But sometimes that kingdom of darkness is still alive and well in far too much of our hearts and minds, in the way we think and in the way we live. And it should become priority number one to get that out, right? I've used this analogy before. And I have to give a little caveat first here. The Lord has dealt with me in the past with my addiction with watching football. And for you, it may not be a problem. I'm not up here to say don't watch football. But for me, for some reason, when I would watch football, I would end up in a bad mood, even if my team won, which wasn't very often. But even when my team won, I would end up in a, I don't know if it's the violence of the game, or the fact that I just wasted 3 hours of my Sunday when I should have been doing something, I don't know what it was, but the Lord told me to stop watching football. And so, okay, I'll stop watching football, Lord. Well, next week, okay, I'll just watch one quarter. It was not quite the big, not the 3 hours, maybe it's the amount of time I was spending. I'll just watch one quarter. All right, Lord, I'll watch two quarters, but then that's it. Then I'm going to pray before and after, so that'll make it okay. We're drawn back to what the Lord has called us out of. Or when I started to discover some of the foods that my body was not digesting, I had to give up gluten. That's tough. I love bagels with a little smear of margarine and some Swiss cheese on there. I mean, it's hard not to salivate after that stuff, but it's not good for my body. I had to exhibit self-control. This was a spiritual issue for me. I had to come out of that. Lord, I want the cake. They're all eating cake. All right, it's my birthday, Lord, and everyone's eating cake. How come I can't have cake? It's not fair. And my wife is always very good, though, about making sure that I'm well taken care of and have something. But sometimes there's just things with wheat in it that just can't be replaced. But so it was a spiritual issue for me. I wanted the cake. I wanted the bagel. I wanted the peanut butter and jelly sandwich. Just one. All right, I'll just have a little bit, Lord. And I end up sick. Well, maybe my body's just not used to it. Maybe I'll try a little of this. Maybe if I eat it and drink a lot of water, you know, and I'm wanting the old stuff. But the Lord says, no, you can't have that. I might not ever be, maybe the Lord will heal me of it. Maybe doctors will come up with some kind of pill I can take. I don't know. In the meantime, the Lord works with me on self-control. And I've got to follow the Lord and leave the old stuff behind. And here they are in the desert. And they're wanting the old stuff. Hosea's wife, she leaves him. She was a prostitute before. She leaves him. Okay? And is unfaithful to him. Craving after the old stuff. The old stuff that should stink in our nostrils, she's going back to it. The idolatry of Egypt. Let's go back to Egypt. Let's there was a threat of mutiny. Let's get rid of Moses. Let's get a new leader that'll take us back to Egypt. Why'd you bring us out into the desert anyway, Moses? Got sand all over the place. I got sand in my tent. Got sand in my sandals. Sand in my foot. Sand in my manna, Moses. Sand. I don't want sand. I want the leeks and the onions and the fish. I want what was back in Egypt. Meanwhile, the Lord is trying to make a covenant with you. Meanwhile, the Lord in his glory is in the tabernacle there in the midst, leading you through the desert like a child with the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night, and protecting you from your enemies and feeding you and teaching you to be his child. And you're like, no, my identity is still wrapped up in Egypt. I still got to have the food, Lord. My identity is what I do. My identity is what I'm good at. This is my identity. My identity is in my job. A lot of us guys have that issue. Right? And some of us struggle with that. A lot of us in this congregation have been looking for work. Maybe now, maybe in the past. The Lord strips that away. Your identity is not that. Your identity is in me. And I want to lead you like a child. Trust me. Because this is, I'm making a covenant with you. Hosea chapter 3. The Lord said to me, go again. Love a woman loved by another, and an adulteress, even as the Lord loves the children of Israel, though they turn to other gods and love cakes of raisins. So I bought her for myself for 15 pieces of silver and a homer and a half of barley. I said to her, you shall stay with me many days. You shall not play the prostitute, and you shall not be with any other man. I will also be so toward you. For the children of Israel shall live many days without king and without prince and without sacrifice and without sacred stone and without ephod or idols. Afterward, the children of Israel shall return and seek the Lord their God and David their king, which we know is speaking of the Messiah, the son of David, and shall come with trembling to the Lord and to his blessings in the last days. How was your week? How was your week? Now look, be honest. Nobody up here is promoting for you to be this, oh, everything's great. Meanwhile, this is going bad, and that the dishwasher poured water all over your floor, and you got rot. All right, okay, I had some struggles this week, maybe. All right, it's okay, you had struggles, be honest. Nobody's saying put a plastic smile on your face and pretend you're not. But don't be defined by these things. My life is terrible because this happened at work. My life is terrible because my kids this, my spouse that. My life is terrible. I'm not sure where I'm going to be able to get the money to pay for this. I have no direction. Life is terrible. Meanwhile, God is making a covenant with you. And you're wrapping your identity up into all these other things. Your week is great because you are in the presence of God. Your week is awesome because you stand forgiven and cleansed, pulled out of the kingdom of darkness, standing in the kingdom of light. Your week is great. I've got some struggles. Yeah, this was hard to deal with. That was hard to deal with. But I'm in the presence of God. I might be having a desert experience, but I am in the presence of God. My week was great. And if you can't say that, then your identity is still wrapped up in the old stuff. It's still wrapped. My identity is still in this. My identity is still in that. How about my identity is I'm a child of God because of the covenant, the relationship that he initiated with me through Yeshua, the Messiah. Lord God Almighty, I ask in Yeshua's name that you take Egypt out of us. You have taken us out of Egypt. We are not children of the kingdom of darkness. We are children of the kingdom of light. We are. We have been chosen. We have been bought with a price, and that price was the blood of Messiah. We are yours. There's nothing that can take us out of it, not life or death, or angels or demons, or height or depth. Nothing can take us from that. We are there, Lord God. And yet we walk there, and we still have Egypt in our hearts. The things that should have been smelly and disgusting to us, the things that should gross us out, we still find tempting. We still find the old things tempting. It's disgusting. You need to see it with the Lord's eyes. It's disgusting. And love the ways of the Lord. And realize there in the midst of your life, whatever else is going on, the most important thing is awesome and beautiful. You are in the presence of God, and he is making a covenant with you. He's affirming his covenant with you. It's already made. He's affirming, he's reminding you of the covenant. Don't forget, I am there with you. The glory of the Lord is in the tabernacle, and because of Messiah, you are invited in. You are invited in. There you are. There you are in the temple courts. There you are walking to the throne of God. And it's all okay because your sins have been wiped away. And meanwhile, you're there, you're complaining, this, that. No, no, put that aside. There you are in the presence of God. And this is who you are. This is your identity. He says, you are my son. You are my daughter. This is who you are. Forget the other stuff. Forget. I'll take care of it. I'll take care of the finances. I'll take care of your children. I'll take care of what's going on here and there. Lord, Lord's taken care of some awesome things for us before, let's be honest. Some things we weren't sure how we'd get out of. I'll take care of it. But you focus on what your identity is. Your identity is in me and in me alone. Lord God, we commit ourselves to that. We love you. We seek your face. We worship you. Maybe we're dealing with physical issues. Lord, heal us. But while we're waiting on being healed, and whether it comes or doesn't come, my identity is not in the physical healing. My identity is in the covenant that I have with the Lord. Maybe you're dealing with financial problems. Relax. Work. Yes, work. But relax as you work. The Lord will provide you the finances. He has before. He'll do it again. Relax. Your identity is not in that. Your identity is as a child of God. Maybe you have broken relationships. Maybe broken relationships in your very home. The Lord can heal these things. Trust in the Lord. Your identity is not in that. Remember that you stand in the presence of God as his child. And that is your identity. In Yeshua's name.